Mark chapter 1 in your Bibles, please. Pick it up in verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." For those that don't believe in repentance. It's amazing how they preach against stuff that's right there in the scriptures. But anyway, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. So my testimony tonight, you'll hear that I was a commercial fisherman years ago. So I know a little bit when I read these. It's really, when I got saved and I started reading the Bible, it was amazing how I could connect with some of these guys and understood a little bit about what they were into. And Jesus said unto them, verse 17, "Come after me and I'll make you to become." I want you to underline that, if you would please. "I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending nets. It's amazing how these men had it going on. It didn't talk about them sitting there playing their video games, but they were actually busy. Look at it. "And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." Father, help us a little while in this Sunday school hour. We thank you, Lord, for Sunday school, and we understand that great churches are built through Sunday schools. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony of this church down through the years, and many, many years ago when I preached for Papa Ross, Lord, I remember this place, remember exactly everything about that meeting. And I thank the Lord, that you led his son to now take the helm here for these many years. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of these precious folks. Pray that you'd bless and something be said in Sunday school be a help and a blessing in Jesus' name. And amen. I want to speak a little while and teach a little bit on Sunday school about characteristics of people God uses. Preacher, one thing that I had to get over with real quick is that if God would ever use me, I sat in the pew after I got saved and I saw the preachers come by and I saw the different people, and I just never thought the Lord could use me in any sort of way because of my past. And I forgot and didn't understand at the time that just about all of us have a past. And so I began to see some things, and when I read the scriptures and saw some of these guys, I understood that there's characteristics that some have that God will use. And there's some characteristics that of some of the people that God has used as I've read down through the Word of God. They're all different individuals. And I've watched with great interest those who God chooses to serve. I heard when I first got saved that God never uses lazy people. All my preachers told me that. God never uses an idle, lazy, good, do-nothing people. He always is looking for somebody that's already doing. I don't care who you are. If you read down through the scriptures, I never see where God picked up some bum and tried to use him. I have seen where God takes somebody that was doing wrong in a zealous way and use them. Are y'all with me today? Say amen. Paul was killing Christians. He was killing Christians at a great rate. I believe this. You don't have to believe this. Fine, it's my opinion. I believe that he was so zealous at killing Christians that God had to save him, least Christianity would have been out. Think about it for a minute. That guy was after it, man. He was whacking. He was getting Christians killed like crazy. Because you can't see and understand the testimony that Paul had. Who gets saved like that? Talk to me, folks. We're Bible believers. Who gets saved like Paul got saved? Nobody. I mean, you won't see that in the scripture. So it's almost like God had to zap him off his beast of burden and save him just to stop him from killing Christians. And God used him, and in the New Testament, Paul is in the New Testament. Moses was in the Old Testament. What a man used of God, 13 books of the New Testament. God had to use him, but I want to say this, that he was busy, he was zealous, he was working, and in the wrong way, but he was working. And God said, boy, if I can get them and direct him the right way. I have a whole book I read on strong-willed Christian. And sometimes, preacher, we look at rebellion differently. And sometimes if you take somebody that's real, and as I was, real rebellious in those hippie days, real rebellious, and you grab him and get him saved and point him in the right direction, he'll be as zealous for God as he was for the devil. I'm simply saying that God, I've never seen anywhere in the scriptures as I plowed through this book for many, many years, God ever taking an idle, lazy, do-nothing individual and using him. He always uses busy people. And so I'm looking at some of the characteristics of some of these individuals. And I've noticed down through the Bible, he always takes a person that's getting things done, even if they're wrong, and then changes them to channel them into the energy and the energy to do the right thing. So what are some of the characteristics? You ought to write these down, it'll help you. Number one, and this is wonderful, God uses ordinary people, just ordinary people. You know, it's amazing, and this is what I had to get over with. I had to get over with that God doesn't use hyper-educated people. Listen carefully now, please. He doesn't use hyper good-looking blah, blah. You know, go on and on. I mean, some of you folks think that only God can only use certain type people, and God is not looking for those type of people. He's looking for ordinary people. And all of us qualify for that. All of us qualify to be ordinary. Simon and Andrew were just ordinary fishermen. Folks, read your Bible. They were just fishermen. They were not political heads. They had no credentials needed, no education or diplomas exhibited, no degrees from Fisherman State University. Preacher, what we need is people that God uses is people that got the power of God on their life and live right, and ordinary people. And I thought that you had to go to a certain school and be educated, and I didn't know God could take a commercial fisherman and use him. When I got saved, I was just got out of LSU. And I was on a disability football scholarship there, and I had to leave because of my health. They got sick of me and they kicked me out. But anyway, but no degree. I just knew that after God saved me, he could use me. I started bringing my football team to Christ. And he just uses ordinary people, just common fishermen going about their ordinary task of making a living. And you must understand that all of these years before I got saved, I started fishing commercially, and I fished with some men that were very successful, but they were just ordinary men. Some of them had no education at all. Some had never finished the eighth grade. Oh, y'all listen to me now. But they had tremendous common sense. What I have, common sense is sanctified, or wisdom is sanctified common sense. And I'm finding in this day and time, we don't have too many people with common sense. And you country folks know that city people ain't got none. It's crazy. No common sense whatsoever. I'm just simply saying that God, the men that I work with and fish with back in those days, preacher, a lot of them didn't have education, but boy, they were very, very smart about the woods, about life. One's a mayor of a city down Louisiana, and we had a swamp theme, as you have this theme. I had a swamp theme for our program, spring program, and the swamp theme was that fishing, so we had one side of the church and divided with the shrimpers, and the other was the crawfishermen. Now, you got to understand, you Yankees don't know even what I just said. Most of you don't eat shrimp or crawfish, but we did that. And they got pumped up. I could get them pumped up about anything, right? So everybody brought some visitors. We'd get a ice chest full of shrimp. And those that brought visitors on this side get a sack of crawfish over here. And so they worked hard. And I said, now, at the end of this thing, I'm going to bring the swamp people in. Now, they thought I was going to bring the gator boys in, you know, the guys that shoot the gator. But I've fished with those guys. I know them personally. They're personal friends of mine. But I brought guys that are even more Cajun than them, which I fished with that stood my wedding. And he's the mayor of a city now. Fished commercially all his life, listen carefully, never took a paycheck from anybody else, worked for nobody. He worked for himself, fishing commercially, lived in a huge brick veneer home, brand new automobiles, paid it all through fishing. That's what we used to do. I brought him, flew him and his wife in. Preacher, I have witnessed to them for all of these years and never could budge them. They would always say, McGee, I'm a Catholic man. Me and the priest, we're like that. You know how they talk. Man, we go out, we drink all the time. We have a good time. And I couldn't get him over the hump that you're a sinner, need Christ. I just couldn't, because he was religious. Flew him in just to give testimony, just for my folks to meet these people. Preacher, I preached from John 3. You must be born again. And when I gave invitation, both of them shot their hand up like this. And I just was shocked. And when I gave him a taste, they ran down the aisle. I looked at Kim. I thought Kim was kind of prompting him. They wasn't. He ran down the aisle. And both of them trusted Christ as their personal Savior. He looked at me later. He said, McKeith, I never saw that thing that clear in my life like that. That's what he said. I had him give testimony that night. After we did, I astonished the people because they talk, you know, that strong Cajun French. And my people just wanted them to continue to talk just to hear them. And telling some stories about he and I. And before we got saved, he said, me and Keith, he said, I'm the mayor, he said, and, you know, he's the preacher, he said. But before that, he said, when we go to a barroom, he said, in a fight would break out, there'd be nothing left. That's what he'd say. All right, that's enough. So we talked about some of our past, man. And he was talking about the fish and how much money we were making. And I remember, preacher, when I shut her down, the people said, no, man, keep going. I remember they stood up. And she stood up, Luella stood up, and she kissed me on the cheek. And she said, this is the greatest day of our lives. 40 years witnessing these people, I couldn't get it through. And it took one service for them to see it clear. A common fit. By the way, the guy had it all. He's a mayor. He owns a big home, has brand new everything, got it all. But just very little education. Common people. He hugged me and he said, man, this is wonderful. This is the greatest day of our life. Preacher, thank you so very much. He said, I want to get that. So they got the DVD. They got I gave them a Bible. They went back to Cajun country, and now they're inviting all their Cajun friends and kinfolks to watch what happened to them at that church. So they hear the whole sermon, John. They hear me preach. I'm going to say it again, that God uses common people. I wish some of you can get that. And the truth of the matter is we're raising a whole generation of proud individuals that think that they're getting a good, God got a good thing when they got saved. But truth of the matter is God uses common people, humble people, and most average intelligence with little education, but great common sense. God is looking for somebody and someone, not name and fame, but just a tool. I own a farm in Iowa, and I have a John Deere tractor. Don't blame me for that. I know some of you do, but boy, this thing costs when they break, don't they? But the thing busted on me, and I had to make a tool. I made a tool to fit something that had busted on it because it's so expensive to get them fixed, and the tool worked. Could I say this to you, that if you looked at the tool that I made, it was just not very good looking and not much to look for, and nobody would really buy it, but it worked. Could I say this to you, that God is looking for you, a common ordinary individual to use. He doesn't care what you look like, doesn't care what your education is. He's just looking for an ordinary person that's humble enough to be a tool in his hand. And that's what he wants. Number two, the second type of person characteristic is use busy people. I said something about that. Look at verse 16 and 19. These individuals always got something going on. Fishermen were always busy. There was never a day and never an idle moment in my life when I was fishing commercially. I was constantly on it. We always something to do, repair, fix, mend nets, make nets, do stuff. There are no successful lazy fishermen is what I want to say. These men were casting their nets out and mending their nets. They were always busy. Bob Smith, my pastor I was saved under, Dr. Bob Buchanan, man, I was called to preach under, Dr. Howes all said, taught me that God uses busy people, people that are doing something, getting something done. And they were. I preached Dr. Runyon and Dr. Buchanan's funeral this past year. All of those men, until the day they died, they were busy at it. Always busy people. So God would use busy people, and it doesn't have to be in the city. Preacher, the truth of the matter is, even here in country setting, you can be as busy as any place on planet Earth. A church this size can be busy. In fact, needs to be busy. There's so much to be done here. And so he never touches a lazy man to do his business. Paul was so busy, he was out killing Christians. Check it out. He was given consent to that. And then this unbelievable conversion that he had on the road to Damascus shows that God takes even individuals that are doing wrong but busy, if God wants to use them, and can use them in a good way. And preacher, I used to go in with a headlight. Now, if you don't know anything about the swamps of Louisiana, if you saw some of the Gator Boys, that's just a tad of it. There's some places back there that's the most pristine, beautiful place in the world. And it's a marvelous place to make a living. It's a great place to make a living. But I used to go in with a headlight and come out with a headlight. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, I'd go from, I mean, this time of the year too. I mean, that's a long day. But we make a lot of money, but that's busy. Sometimes by the time we went and sold our fish and sold our crawfish or whatever and get back home, it's late, get up before daylight again and hit it again. Constant. Farmers would understand that. But I'm simply saying that we stayed busy. To bed late, early to rise, and someone has rightly said, don't let the sun catch you in bed. I'm afraid that too many people are missing sunrises. Some of you that hunt, you understand what I'm talking about, how beautiful it is when you're sitting on a deer stand and watching the sun come up. And you that are not sitting on a deer stand, you've missed a great thing in life called killing deer and eating them. But anyway... as someone else said, Toxie Haas said this. He said, so many sunrises and in a person's life, and you shouldn't miss too many of them. That's true. It's good to see the sunrise. And it's good to get up early and be busy about it. So he uses common people, ordinary people, and he uses busy people, and he uses responsive people. Responsive people. Look at verse 18, if you would, please. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. I've never seen God use anybody that doesn't walk an aisle. When I first got saved, preacher, it seemed like the preacher could never preach on anything that I was not convicted about. And I wore a path to the altar. It bothers me that people can sit under the preaching of the Word of God that was penned by the Holy Ghost of God, the preacher preaching the Word of God that has the filling of the Holy God, of the Holy Spirit, and them supposed to be saved, supposed to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. No three do not bear witness of the preaching. How can they sit there forever and never walk an aisle? I can understand if you're aged and can't get out and can't go down and get up. I understand making decisions in your pew. But there's a lot of people never walk an aisle, never bow a knee before God because they're unresponsive. And I've never known God to use anybody that's unresponsive. To turn back, look what it said in verse 18 now. They turned their back on their livelihood that they love so much and followed Jesus, you know, was simply an act of responding to his will. Now, some of you may understand what I'm talking about, maybe not. But there's some things that we did in life, and didn't. And of course, fishing was one, and me, a Louisiana boy. To turn my back on that stuff and do the Lord's will, it was amazing. I may talk about it tonight. I don't want to take fire out of night, but when I got saved, God called me to preach on this side of the platform. And I remember when I motioned Dr. Buchanan, I said, God called me tonight. I was waiting on my wife, and let me talk about that tonight. And he told me, he said, I want you to go sell everything you got, everything you got. And I just stared at him. Now, folks, you'd have to understand, and I don't want to go through it. I wish I had pictures, but I had the best green money could buy in equipment for fishing equipment. Those big aluminum skiffs, all those traps and all those, I had the best money could buy. And when he told me sell everything, I turned around and I walked away, and within 48 hours, everything was sold. Now, that doesn't mean anything to you, but it does mean something to me, how much stuff I have. Folks, y'all ever thought about this? You're going to die, and you ain't bringing none of that stuff with you. And we sure can gather a lot of stuff, can't we? But I had all this fishing stuff, man, making tons of money. I'd make $2,000 a day every day I breathed. I know it's hard for you to believe. It's crazy how much money you make in commercial fishing, and I was doing that. But I sold everything I had, everything. 48 hours, walked up to him and told him that, and he said, you're a liar. I said, preacher, I've sold everything. I'm on foot. And I heard my big four-wheel drive off. I said, that's my last vehicle. And just a big old monster mutters. Come on, some of you guys, cry for me. Feel sorry for me. You know, monster mutters, big old four-wheel drive. Oh, God. You know. And this is the crazy thing about it. After I did that, I said, okay, now why did you have me do that? I obeyed my pastor because I responded to the invitation, but then I responded to this. I said, why'd you have me do that? And he said, you ever read in the scriptures where those boys went back to fishing? He said, went back to fishing because they kept their boats. He said, I know you Cajuns. He said, you get a little discouraged, you're going to go back to fishing, boy. I want you to sell everything and burn all the bridges behind you so you have nothing to go back to. God uses responsive people. It's obvious that God is not speaking to some because they never respond, preacher. If your children would respond the way we respond to God sometimes, I wonder if we'd be pleased with our children. Right. Number four, quickly, let's move on. He uses undaunted people. Look at verse 20, if you would please. And straightway he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the ship and the hired servant, and went after him. They were undaunted. Nothing was going to stop them. Again, I say, folks, I wish you would, and some of you might could relate to this, turning your back on your livelihood and being responsive to the Lord when he speaks. But they were undaunted. In verse 20, they left what they knew and was comfortable with, that they were comfortable with, and boldly set out to a new adventure. The thing that I feared most, preacher, I guess when God was calling me and I responded to that, was that I didn't know what I could do for the God. And I want you to look at this right here. These are fishermen. They were comfortable with what they did. They knew what they could do. They were doing it successfully. And then they undaunted, when the Lord said, follow me, make a fish of men, they turned their back on that and responded to the men and didn't know what they were launching into. But bless God, undaunting they went and did what he said. And preacher, sometimes it's scary for the young men, even some of the young ladies, go off to Bible college, sometimes be called into the ministry not knowing. Because this is not just the ministry. This is just such a small part of a ministry. And most people don't understand that. Some young men think that this is it, and this is such a small thing of what we do in the ministry as a whole. But undaunted, just jumping into it with both feet and going. I was looking at, you know how your phone does history, I guess, the pictures, right? I don't know what that's called. I'm sorry. I'm a tech nerd, but it does pictures this day so many years ago, and I punched on it today, motel room. And this time, several years ago, I was in Greenland, and a hunt was given to me in Greenland, shot two muskox with my bow up there. Now, I was looking at that, and I said, man, so several years ago, that was sitting right there. Look at that. And I was just staring at that and looking, wondering, unbelievable opportunity they had to go and do that, and how I remember it dawned on me in my room. I was sitting there, how I didn't know where I was going. I flew into Iceland, Reykjavik, Iceland, and flew to Greenland, and then took a boat for 6 hours down to this. It's crazy. And just this adventure, it's an adventure. So preacher, when you launch out and God calls you to do something, you may not see the end of it, but you got to launch out anyway and watch him take you by the hand and step by step lead you into that adventure. It's a marvelous thing to watch how God can do in your life and for you what you could never do for yourself. These men were undaunting, and they followed the Lord. Look at verse 21 and 26. You see they followed the Lord into strange places, even demonic places. Look at verse 21, if you would please. We didn't read that. And they went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, and entered into synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine, and he taught them as one had authority, not of the scribes. And there was in a synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Of course, Jesus rebuked him. You see that. Hold the peace. I'm simply saying, folks, that these individuals, and look at verse 26, and when the unclean spirit had torn him, he cried with a loud voice and came out of him. Can you imagine these disciples? All they knew was fishing, and now all of a sudden, undaunting, they followed Jesus into this territory, even demonic territory, where they were seeing things that they had never seen before. They were daring to go where they had never been because they wanted to serve the Lord. And many times, preacher, some of you, I think the young people just came from the Navajo over there. I know that man. I preach with him and support him. That's an unknown territory to us when we enter into some of that mysticism and some of the tribal customs and some of the demonic activity they have in Indian culture is phenomenal. And when God Almighty calls you in the mission field, sometimes he'll call us into places that we know not of and into some things that was absolutely new to us and we had never experienced in the United States of America. I know this is too strange for some of you. It's too strange for me, and I've been in some pretty tight situations. But I've had missionaries tell me that some of these witch doctors in Africa can levitate. Now, I don't know what I'd do if I'd see that, preacher. But I mean, they'd levitate. I mean, that's demonic stuff. Now, some of you sitting there saying, I don't believe it. Well, you're going to have to talk to the missionary. Maybe go down there. I've been to Africa 4 times. Go down and see some of the strange, weird stuff that goes on. I thank God that I'm an American pastor. And I thank God I can support hundreds of missionaries, and we do. Man, I don't know if I want to go into that realm. But if the Lord called me to, I would. I've been to Alaska 9 times. Shamanism over there and all that demonic stuff that goes on there. And I want you to see these individuals, just common, ordinary people that were responsive to the Lord. They came and they went on a journey with him that was absolutely wild and even into areas that were demonic, but they were undaunted. They dared to go with nobody to go. Missionaries that went to lost tribes, I think just recently, preacher, you probably read about it, where that guy, there's some Indian tribe on an island that nobody went to, and they were just really bad dudes. And the guy said, I don't care, I'm going to him. Have y'all read that? It was several months ago. And he had some Indians to bring him out, Indian tribe to bring him out to, I'm talking about in India, and to bring him out to this island. And they said, we'll bring you and drop you off and leave because these people kill people. Nobody goes there. Nobody's allowed there. They want to maintain their culture. They don't want any outside interference coming in. And he said, take me to him. I'm going to evangelize him. He's a Christian guy. And they dropped him off on the shore, and he didn't get 10 feet. They drilled him with bunches of arrows. They killed him dead as a ham. Just the other day. Now, here's an individual that was undaunted. I also think he was unwise, but anyway, there's some people, they tell you to stay out, they're going to kill you. Probably ought to need to think about it, pray about it. But anyway, but they killed him just the other day, undaunted. You know, preacher, think about it for a minute. We send these preacher boys out, and every Sunday I pray for our graduates across the world now. I was praying just the country, but now they're across the world and serving in places that are unbelievable, and they're undaunted, and I thank God for those who are standing, and you have been preaching. Thank God for that in this place. Use undaunted people. Not only that, but he uses humble people. I want you to see it in verse 17, please, and that's where I want to go. Those who haven't arrived yet. The one thing about having a college is you see these guys come and they think they're God's gift to the ministry, and they need to be humbled some. And this happens at times. And that's fine. That's good to do, to humble them. But folks, listen, God wants to use humble people. Now, the problem with humility is most people got that definition wrong also, as we get a lot of definitions wrong. But humble people are not confident people. I fly a lot. I don't want the pilot coming out now. I'm not worthy to fly this plane. I don't know if I can or not. Dear God, let me off, man. I've done flew enough of these things. Humility is coming out and said, folks, we're going to have a great flight, and won't you be comfortable? And we're gonna make sure we've got a little turbulence, but we're gonna get up a little higher. We're gonna make it comfortable for you. That's a confident man. He's humble enough to know he's been trained right to do. Are you with me now? Humility is different. But I want you to notice this, please. I want you to notice verse 17. I will make you to become. Do you see that? I will make you to become. Some believe that they're God's gift to humankind. What did the Lord do before he had and saved me? I wonder how God got all this done before he saved Keith Gomez. Think about that for a minute. Sometimes that's the way we act. I wonder what this church did before I came and started giving all that money. They were surviving before you got here, buddy. And they'll survive after you leave. It's amazing how many people we feel that this thing evolves around us. It doesn't evolve around us, and this church doesn't belong to Mr. Ross. It belongs to God Almighty, and he knows that, and that's why he's doing what he's doing. Humility is really understanding who butters your bread. And the simple truth of the matter is a wonderful thing to know. I will make you to become. That's a wonderful thing, preacher, when we get saved, if we just get that thought. He'll make us to become whatever he wants us to do. A tool in his hand. See, God didn't save you to have you. God saved you to use you. And if you think God saved you to have you, you think too highly of yourself. He wants to use you. And look at what it says again. I will make you to become. The Lord wants to make us into a great servant. Do you see that? We are clay in the potter's hand. Don't resist the hands and the pressure of the design pot, that the design that the potter has in mind. My sister was a renowned sculptress, from what I understand, world renowned. And she did a lot of stuff and owned several places, and she'd make different sculptures and pottery. And I know a little bit about it, and you've read Jeremiah 18, I think it is. It talks about the pressure of the potter. And when he's trying to make us, I will make you to become, we got to be careful of that. Preacher, who in God's world would ever think that a Cajun out of the swamp, I'm not a country boy, I'm a swamp boy, who would ever think that somebody out of the swamp could come and God could work on him to pastor in the shadows of Chicago? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. But when you yield to the potter's hand, you're going to do and report to duty and report to duty till God calls you away. It's something about that, folks. If you could just get this down, that God wants you to use every individual, all of you, every one of you young men, everybody in this room, God wants to use you. If you just yield to him, he will make you to become. God wants to use all of us, but some will never be used because we do not possess any of these characteristics. Spurgeon said, there are no wares, there's no crown wearers in heaven who was not cross bearers on below. And so what we need to do is just yield to him and watch him use us in a great way. Because all of us can have these characteristics. Some of you have these characteristics. Some don't have some of these characteristics. You need to get these characteristics. In this narcissistic millennial generation, preacher, most millennials don't have those type of characteristics. It's all about them, selfie. And it's crazy. It's really crazy. Folks, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just being honest. We have our Facebooks, and we do these sexy type photos of ourselves and put them on there. And then when you see the person in reality, you go, whoa, that's not the same person. It's crazy what we try to personify in ourselves. It really is. I mean, I used to be tall, dark, and handsome, and now I'm just dark. But I used to have, you know, wide shoulders and narrow waist, and they swapped place along the way. I used to have a whole black bushy head of hair. All that stuff changes, man. You know, some of you are disappointed what you see. You hear me on the radio, and you're disappointed what you see. Well, so what? I'm not very impressed either. But anyway, listen, folks. God just wants to use all of us, and he will, if you'll just yield to him and watch him do some unusual things in your life. And every time I think about this church, think about your pastor, I think about that. Just somebody that's willing to stay. And I know you know this. He may not, but he could go anywhere and pastor anywhere, a bigger venue, and do quite well. But he's staying where God put him because he wants to be a tool in God's hands. And he has these characteristics. I'm not going to brag or even throw bouquets to him. I'm telling you the truth. This is why preachers stay over long periods of time. Most of my friends are preachers that stay. They're not these guys that hop, step, skip, and jump. I was dealing with a preacher this past week. Preacher, God being my honest, I don't know how many churches he's been in. I couldn't count them. I preached for him for 40 years. And I think it's been almost that many churches. I just can't believe somebody would jump around that much. I don't understand that. It's good to have a preacher that stays. Father, thank you for Sunday school. Thank you, Lord, for these characteristics. Lord, thank you for these good folks today in Sunday school. Bless the preaching hour. And I pray you save the soul near as hell, revive backsliders in Jesus' name. And amen. Bless you.